Public Media. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In these last few days of summer, when the weather is warm, we've been getting, in these last few days of summer, with the warm weather we've been getting, people are finding ways to enjoy the outdoors. And one way of doing that is to break out a bicycle. And there are a lot of us who do that. The nonprofit People for Bikes Foundation estimated that in 2022, some 108 million Americans rode a bike outdoors at least once over the course of a year. But so much of our transportation infrastructure is still built for cars. In recent years, scores of Illinois cyclists have been killed after being hit by cars. And while the state has passed laws to improve infrastructure for walking and bicycling, concerns around safety remain. With us to talk about where things stand here in the 21st state is Cynthia Hoyle. She's a transportation consultant in Champaign-Urbana, but of course this is an issue across Illinois. Hoyle is also on the board of the cycling advocacy group Ride Illinois. Cynthia, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, we welcome your perspective. We're only going to be in this conversation for about the next 15 minutes, though. So if you want to join in, now's the time. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Cynthia, what are some of the big changes we've seen in bicycling in recent years? And I guess as a conversation starter, I'm going to mention the widespread take-up of e-bikes.
Well, yes, we now have two e-bike companies in the community, and those are heavily used by students. And from mapping it out, a number of neighborhoods in the community that are of more moderate and lower income. So they're providing important transportation option for people. We've also had some big investments in infrastructure. Everyone who lived through the installation of MCOR knows what a huge project that was. And it has that project, along with many others that the two cities, the university and MTD, have invested in, have resulted in us having zero traffic fatalities on campus for a number of years now. So there is a movement nationally called Vision Zero, which is not having any fatalities, having zero fatalities on our roadways. And through a lot of work and a lot of investment, we have achieved that on campus, where we have a lot of bicycling and a lot of pedestrians.
And as I guess, many, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I guess I'm going to just say, you know, we're a statewide show. This is a national issue. So beyond what's happened in Champaign-Urbana, and for people who aren't living there and, you know, is familiar with the infrastructure and some of the cycling, but like this is a bigger picture thing. Are more people, I guess, riding bikes? What has changed in recent years? Because one thing that we know has changed is the number of fatalities. The Illinois Department of Transportation data shows there were 12 fatal crashes in Illinois 2019, 41 last year. What's behind that?
Yes. Well, on the state level, we've continued to track and note the number of fatalities. Ride Illinois has been tracking that on their website now. And there has been an increase. Interestingly, though, within the city of Chicago, I just noted on a street blog that that they have not had a fatality recently, and they were attributing that partly to the development of the infrastructure. However, they have had a number of fatalities in the suburban communities and in smaller towns and rural areas. And part of that is a result of the lack of infrastructure, and the infrastructure giving a message to drivers of automobiles that, you know, they're the primary users of the road and that they can go fast. And that's
Right. So let's talk about that infrastructure. I'm sorry, there's a little Zoom delay and that's causing some of the back and forth here, I think. But talk about the way how our roads are set up affects cyclist safety, as opposed to just say people, you know, not really being courteous or knowing the rules of the road. I guess courteous, maybe that's not the way you would phrase it, right? Not being respectful of the law and cyclists' rights. But talk more about, I guess, the infrastructure and how the design of our roadways affects cyclist safety.
Yes. Well, that is part of the problem, that we have been designing our roadways in an auto-centric fashion. And there are a lot of people who cannot drive and who need to walk, bike, and use transit. And when you design the roadways with the automobile being the primary and often the only vehicle being accommodated, then it makes it very dangerous for other roadway users because the road says to the drivers, go fast, and it's your road, everyone else should get out of the way. And the federal government has been changing the guidelines, and our State Department of Transportation has been making some moves in this direction as well. But the culture of having streets designed for cars is so deeply entrenched in our engineering schools that you still, I think unconsciously, drivers are still designing roadways with cars as the primary users when we know that a lot of people would like to drive less if they had a safe option.
All right, so let's talk about. So I think we're all familiar with the share the road signs, right? That where bikes just go in the same lanes of travel as cars. Maybe we can step up from there in terms of safety and separation, in terms of what better, in your view, cycling infrastructure would look like.
Well, the first thing we have to do is narrow lanes. When the lane is very wide and very straight, it says go fast like a highway. That's how highway infrastructure is designed. That's not appropriate for city streets. However, in our community, we have a robust transit system. And so an 11-foot lane is really as narrow as we can go because we have a lot of buses that are using that infrastructure. So we have to do other things to help reduce transportation, vehicle speeds, I should say. And where you have a lot of conflict, you're really having separated infrastructure is the best design. And here in Champaign-Urbana, you can see that with the side path on Green Street. You see that in Chicago, where they're putting up very separated infrastructure. The other problem that we have is that many motorists either do not understand or do not respect the bike infrastructure. So when you have bike lanes that are just painted, you often have drivers that do things that can endanger cyclists, and that makes what we call a level of stress in the bicycle planning world very high. And so people don't feel nearly as safe with just paint between them and vehicles. So separated infrastructure is safer. The data shows that, but it's also more expensive to install.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Cynthia Hoyle, who's a transportation consultant based in Champaign-Urbana, also on the board of directors for the organization Ride Illinois. We're talking about safer bicycling infrastructure, where Illinois stands, where Illinois might go in the future on this. If you want to join us, we're only on this subject for about another 7, 8 minutes. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Cynthia, I got to say, I was in Washington, D.C. over the summer for a conference, and I usually take the subway when I'm in the city, but I used a bike most of the time this time on this trip, and because there's e-bikes everywhere, sometimes littering up the sidewalks, but for rental. And I had everything from lanes where I felt like I was taking my life into my hands with the cars to some very separated infrastructure. You have the little plastic barricades, sometimes you have actual curbs that separate the bike lanes, and then in other spots there are just bike paths that are completely separate from cars. Don't even follow the same route. It follows the line of the trains. What does it take in terms of what is the appetite that you've seen in among policymakers for those different types of separation approaches?
Well, of course, it varies from community to community, but in a community where you have leadership that has really focused on this, for example, New York City and Washington, D.C., the leadership there decided that, first of all, they cannot reduce the congestion on their roads by trying to build infrastructure for automobiles. It's that we know scientifically it does not work. The more infrastructure you build, the more people drive. So you cannot road build your way out of congestion. So, what are our options? Transit is in those communities very expensive to build because they're building it underground, but you can change the roadways to be it safer for bicycling. And bicycling is the most efficient form of transportation for trips under, 5 to 10 miles. And it can be very enjoyable as well. As you have noted, you felt safer when you were separated from the traffic. And so when policymakers really focus on this, you can have remarkable advances. I was in Paris last summer, and it was astonishing to me what had happened in 6 years with their infrastructure. So it's really about the leadership, and when the leadership wants to accomplish creating an actual network that will supply people with a way to get around that is safe and less stressful, they can accomplish that. But it does take that leadership, and of course, people don't like change, so there's always resistance. And what automobile drivers don't understand a lot of the time is that more people who are walking, biking, and taking transit, the less congestion there is on the roadway. So it's better for people who need to drive if we have these choices in mobility.
Yeah, more room for the F450s on the roadways, I guess, if you get more people on bikes. All right, I'm sorry, tipping my hand there a little bit. What? Oh, now I lost my train of thought. No. So when Paris, Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, I think there are going to be some people listening who think, well, sure, of course, big cities, blue cities, with a lot of hipsters who ride bikes around. Maybe it's easier in those places to get the sort of public willingness. And cars are a huge problem in places like that. Whereas cities like Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, Peoria were designed more with cars in mind, at least the modern infrastructure. And maybe you don't see as many people riding bikes, and maybe there aren't as many younger people out there. So talk about, are there examples of cities comparable in size to our downstate communities that have taken sort of radical or big swings, I'll put it that way, like you're describing?
Oh yes, there are a number of communities around the country that are making serious progress. And my sister just moved to Boulder. They have built a fairly robust system of bicycle infrastructure. Also, Davis, California is a community that started building bicycle infrastructure at the same time that Champaign-Urbana did way back in the 60s and 70s. But they kept going. And they don't have busing for kids to their schools except for kids that have mobility issues. They have created a network. Every new development that goes in there connects to a system of bicycle infrastructure. It's quite remarkable if you ever have a chance to go there. So those are two communities I can think of. Lots of times they are university communities. Because you have more people, younger people who want to ride bikes and who need to be able to ride bikes because it's a cheaper form of transportation. I will just say, though, that in the big cities, change actually is very hard. New York City had a number of lawsuits filed against their infrastructure. San Francisco had someone hold up their bike plan for years by filing a lawsuit against it. The size of the community, there's always resistance, and in bigger cities, sometimes it's even harder to get it done. A community like Urbana has actually a fairly high rate of bicycling compared to other American cities because we had that nice core grid infrastructure that gives people choices and routes. You don't want to bike the route that you drive. I wouldn't
No.
recommend biking down University.
No, that's an excellent point. Let's see if we can get a call in. Cindy is calling from Rockford on line two. Cindy, thank you for calling in.
Yes, you're welcome. I just wanted to mention that I have great respect for bicyclists. I admire their willingness to put in the effort to bike, and I appreciate what it does for the environment. But I have a little problem with the assumption that it would be the motorist's fault and that they are speeding. My issue is I live near some very scenic bike routes. Well, they're posted as bike routes. I can be driving at or below the posted speed limit, come around a curve, and there's a bicyclist. And a number of times I've had to hit the brake, swerve if there was a place to swerve. And I understand the bicyclist is assuming the risk by being on that road, but I don't appreciate that they also are deciding my risk. I do not want to live knowing that I hurt someone or killed someone. And so when a bicyclist is putting themselves in danger on a route like that, they're also making a decision for me.
Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. We're really short on time. I will say we got an email from Kathy who said, you know, she tried to ride a bike or tries to ride a bike, but has seen a lot of poor driving from cyclists as well as cars. Just about a minute left in our time together. Cynthia, how do you respond to that?
Well, I understand and appreciate the fear of hitting a cyclist, but I will say that legally cyclists are by right users of the roadway, just like the Amish are when they have a horse and a buggy. And so it is the responsibility of drivers to ensure that we do not strike other users of the roadway. And that can be challenging. So I would say slow down and be as careful as possible when sharing the road with other users of the roadway.
Cynthia Hoyle is a transportation consultant. She's on the board of directors for the organization Ride Illinois. I'm sure this is not the last conversation we'll have on cycling infrastructure on the program. Cynthia, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be hearing an interview I recorded late last month, new interview with Chicago jazz drummer Micaiah McRaven. He is performing in Central Illinois this weekend at Pygmalion, the Music and Culture Festival. That's coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Stay with us.